You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Scientists have said that you give us sufficient knowledge and we will cure all the problems and evils of this world. That is what they have said. Many of them have said that, but as knowledge multiplies again and again and again, we see that our problems keep pace almost exactly with that knowledge. So what is wrong with our knowledge? What is wrong? We know that if we look at man, it's the most marvelous creation, or certainly the greatest design. Some people would disagree about the creation, but it's certainly the greatest design when you consider the mind and the body of anything on this earth. And yet, here we are facing world cosmicide, and what does that have to do with science? Well, it has everything to do with science. And are we, let's say, through science, solving our problems, curing all of our evils? Well, it's quite the contrary. The problem is many people are in awe of science, and there is certainly a lot of good that comes out of science, but modern science has become, well, you could almost say like a modern messiah in many ways. So what is wrong with science? We see a lot that's right about it, but what is wrong with it? If you see that the way it's developed in this end time, that if you combine science with education, they believe that they've gone beyond the need for God and the Bible and that kind of direction. They really, in most cases, believe that. And God is just left out of the picture. Why is it that science has not been able to bring us peace? They haven't been able to deal with immorality and illiteracy and broken homes and crime and insanity. All of these problems keep multiplying, and science cannot solve them. And if you look closely at what science is doing throughout history and what it has done and is doing, you see that you're a lot of people being disillusioned with science. And there's good reason for that. I want to read you something from Herbert W. Armstrong, December 22, 1980. He was the chancellor of three colleges and on this earth and had a tremendous worldwide work. But here's what he said: "Nor have the scientists rescued adolescent frustration, staring a hopeless future in the face, turning immorality, drugs, violence, and too often suicide." Now, this is what kind of a future do we have? Has science given us hope for the future? Or is there so much hopelessness out there? Our young people and many adults as well are turning to drug addiction, immorality like we've never seen before in our lives. Why is that all happening? And what does that have? Why can't science solve those problems? Well, in many ways, science is a false messiah, and it just threatens to be a Frankenstein monster that is going to destroy its maker. When you look at nuclear bombs and what all is happening in this world, now the solution is not some maudlin, syrupy religion either. The solution to these problems are there in your Bible. And I mean, it is the truth we have to seek, and nothing else. We can't follow men, we can't follow religions, but we can follow a man as he follows Christ. But we all must follow Christ. That's the point. But what is wrong with science? I want to read you a little here about a couple of scientists. This is an introduction by David G. Hartwell to the novel, science fiction novel, Timescape, and written by a scientist, Greg Benford. He certainly was a man of renown. But here's what he writes about this book and this man. That is, David Hartwell is the author. Quote, Benford, the scientist, and Benford, the writer, achieved a widely praised synthesis uncommon anywhere in contemporary fiction. A detailed portrayal of scientists, how they really work and live. So in his work of fiction, he showed how scientists really live and really do science. In it, he simply let go, pouring in detail about scientists, the way they think, how they live, and that hardest of subjects, the way it feels to do science. The oddly incommunicable sensation of discovering something true and strange and new, which they often do. Yet, Timescape, that is the novel, is at heart a deeply optimistic book in which science is working to restore the prelapsarian garden of Earth against great odds. Now, he's referring really to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were, but he's talking about a time before Adam and Eve sinned and turned against God and rejected the tree of life. But he's talking about, well, now science, his goal, and he said at great odds, is to create like a Garden of Eden, make this earth like a Garden of Eden, as if he's saying, well, God couldn't do it, so we will, something to that effect, I would think. But again, I might be misinterpreting that part of it. But anyhow, he's talking about creating a Garden of Eden, a paradise on this earth through science. Now, but you notice when they use something like that, they just push God right out of the picture. Where is God in all of this? Is he unable to create a Garden of Eden? Well, he's about to turn this earth into a Garden of Eden in spite of man. And I mean, it's going to be happening very soon. And most people will see it in their lifetimes. But the thing about it with Adam and Eve is they rejected the tree of life and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what's wrong with that tree? They rejected the tree of life, and God kicked them out of the garden because of that. Well, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, God says, okay, you reject my direction. You go ahead and you create your own science. You create your own religion. You create your own education, and I want to show you what you're going to produce. Because he couldn't tell Adam and Eve by his words. And so Adam and Eve rejected the tree of life and were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And mankind has followed Adam and Eve to this day and will continue to until Jesus Christ returns. But what Adam and Eve did was make a deadly choice. A deadly choice. It was a wrong choice. They actually turned to what could be called the tree of death. And look at what we're facing today. Our number one problem is that of human survival. But of course, that way of death is really eternal death if we don't repent and turn around and go the other way. Let me give you one more example of a scientist writing science fiction, but it reveals a great deal about science. This introduction is by Gregory Benford, the author of the other book. This novel is by Fred Hoyle, an astronomer, and he wrote The Black Cloud. That's the name of the book. But a very famous astronomer, well known in the world. Let me just read you a little bit of this. When one of the most prominent scientists in the world, turned to writing strict genre science fiction, the realm of both literature and science, took notice. They really took notice. And he's writing about real scientists in this book. The introduction continues. The black cloud sets forth perhaps his best known wild idea. It makes plausible the notion of a purely physical origin of life with no necessity for biological processes. In principle, this is possible. Now, this is what they believe. This is possible since life at its most general demands only a flow of energy through a system which can spontaneously organize itself into more complex forms. Now that is total fiction. They don't intend it to be, but it is. It's a fantasy. Where do you ever see a system that can spontaneously organize itself into more complex forms? There is no such system, except as God creates it. There is none. And men, even then, can turn away from it and be as disorganized and, well, look at the world today. Do you see any of that around you? Have you seen any of it in the past? We're about to blow mankind off the planet. How about that for disorganization? And not being able to organize the power that they have access to. I mean, something like that is never, ever, ever going to be true. Though scientists often believe that theory, but you can't prove it. You can prove God's existence. And you can prove that the Bible is the Word of God, and we'll give you literature to show you that very clearly. You can. But you can totally disprove what is being said here about this organized system just of itself becomes more complex, and the way he's looking at it evolves to become better and better. But actually, if you look at the fruits around us, it's getting worse and worse. Again, our number one problem is that of human survival. And he concludes here by saying the black cloud uses scrupulous attention to how scientists really are. This is science fiction he was writing, but he's showing how scientists really are. Now I want to take you to a scripture to show you how we could solve our problems, how science and everybody else could, if they would just heed this. Notice Matthew 11 in verse 23. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven. Now here's a problem with man and scholars and scientists. Oftentimes they're exalted unto heaven. They even talk about the gods of science sometimes. Not a good way to be thinking. If you want to solve problems. But anyhow, it goes on to say, you shall be brought down to Hades, for if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Now God has planned and worked to keep these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. You know how many people followed Christ after he was here on this earth? For 3.5 years, do you know how many people followed him? Well, 120, not very many. Not very many people at all. So God is very selective in what he's doing and in the calling of people and directing them, because he knows that if he called most of them today, they'd lose their salvation. So he's going to work with most of them in a great resurrection. The second resurrection, it's called in the Bible. But when Christ was on this earth, he met these people that were exalted into heaven, and he couldn't even personally teach them because they wouldn't be taught. That's just incredible. Here was the Son of God, God in the flesh, and they wouldn't listen to him. Now, they're not going to listen to most people who follow God. They're not going to do it. Not today, but shortly they're going to get into so much trouble, then they will begin to really make changes. And Christ will begin to work with them as soon as he gets back, shortly after that very serious trouble that we're facing right now. God will never reveal his truth to people unless they're babes or childlike. They're humble and they're teachable. Most people are not that way. Let me read you another quote from Herbert W. Armstrong. This he wrote in The Plain Truth, May 1985. He said, "Many scientists have devoted their lifetimes to researching and studying this question, that is, about the origins and our beginnings. Many scholarly books have been written setting forth the results of these lifetime studies, purporting to tell the story of the origin of the earth and of mankind upon it." And he goes on to say why humanity is harassed with so many evils and why these evils are fast increasing. They never can tell you that. Even though they're trying to get to the origin of everything, the beginning of everything, but they won't accept God's beginning of creation. They accept evolution, which is a theory, and a theory that simply cannot be proved. And the Bible can. Matter of fact, God says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 to prove all things. But notice this quote, "To come to knowledge of the right answer, we need to understand what is wrong with the scientific method. Why have the findings of modern science not produced peace and universal happiness? What has been wrong with the scientific method?" Well, when you look back at our history, it's been like the last 200 years when modern science has really developed. It was for thousands of years, it was on a pretty even keel when you look at agriculture and transportation and communication. But in this end time, let's say, roughly that, all of that changed. We've gone through the machine age, the jet age, the nuclear age, the space age. And here's another quote. "With the emergence of modern science around the beginning of the 19th century, scientists assured the world that man had progressed to the point where he then could dispense with the superstitious crutch of religion and belief in God. Now humanity could rely on the new Messiah, modern science. Given sufficient knowledge," said the scientists, "we shall solve all humanity's problems and cure all the world's evils or ills." Now, what they did at the same time is they rejected revelation from God. They don't even consider that. Is that academic freedom? True academic freedom? Well, every time the world's knowledge doubles, so do our problems. Something is wrong with the mind of man. And it needs another spirit with that human spirit. Notice what Mr. Armstrong wrote in that same article. "What's wrong with the dictum that knowledge is the sole need for solutions? We are face to face with the stern fact that increasing evils have escalated alongside increasing knowledge. That is not to say that the increased knowledge caused the growing evils. It does mean that the knowledge produced did not cure existing evils or prevent new evils." So there's a missing dimension in knowledge. What is it? You can see and read Hosea 4 and verse 6 where God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge," but not material knowledge, not knowledge of this world, but the knowledge of God. They are destroyed because of that wrong knowledge, because they're eating from the wrong tree, and it's leading to physical death and the destruction of all humanity on this earth if Jesus Christ didn't come return and stop it all, which he's going to do very shortly. You can see he's going to have to do it shortly because we're getting close to a time when we can destroy humanity, the human beings, about 10,000 times over already. We have leaders out there that are just absolutely out of control and not thinking with sound minds. And they have nuclear bombs. And especially one nation is really unique in that, and that is Iran. And they're going to be the trigger of World War III, according to Bible prophecy. Notice again what Mr. Armstrong wrote. Talking about academic freedom. Academic freedom is defined as the independent judgment allowed teachers, scholars, scientists, and students in the pursuit of knowledge. Science as a whole and higher education have exercised the academic freedom to postulate a creation without a creator. They have engaged in the activity of knowledge production with total rejection of any possibility of the miraculous, the supernatural, the existence of God, or anything outside the realm of the material. They have utterly rejected revelation as a source of basic knowledge. That's right, because God can't reveal it to them, because they're not as babes before God. They're not as babes in that way at all. Notice what Christ said, verse 15 of Matthew 13, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed." Well, how about that? That's what science has done to God in the Bible and revelation from God. They just close their minds to it. They won't entertain it. They won't even consider it when they go out into the universe and look for the origins of life. And the Bible makes it very clear about the beginnings of life or the origins of man. It does indeed. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Yeah, God can't reveal them to him. See, they just won't consider God as a solution. They want to solve all the problems themselves, and they're not equipped to do so until they receive the Holy Spirit of God to add with the human spirit, and then they can do a lot of things being led by God. But is there academic freedom in that when they just absolutely reject the Bible, totally reject it, won't even consider it? Well, that's not academic freedom. Not at all. Verse 7 of Romans 8 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." Now, men don't know that. They don't know that their minds are enmity against God, hatred toward God, but they are. They're absolutely hateful toward God and His way of life. And God has made them that, or allowed them to become that way and overcome that to enter into His family, into His kingdom. You see, they just dismiss God and the Bible without even a hearing. They won't even consider what the Bible says about creation and against evolution. They won't consider it. And they'll have contempt for you if you even introduce it oftentimes. But that's not true academic freedom. It is not. Now where are you going to find science telling you, well, why is man on this earth? Why is he here? What is the purpose of man? Now look, God sent an instruction book along with his creation of man. Just like any industrialist will send out a product and send a book of instructions on how to operate it, whatever they're mailing you. You see, that's what we need to be looking at today. Here's what President Eisenhower said January 20th, 1953, "Science seems ready to confer upon us as its final gift the power to erase human life from this planet." That's the opposite of what they've been trying to achieve. It's time we learned our lesson before, well, the terrible suffering that's facing us, and it's going to intensify by 20,000 times perhaps. But you see, it's a lot worse today, and we need to understand that. Herbert Armstrong wrote this. He combined a couple of scriptures. "Once again, as at the Tower of Babel, God is saying, quote, 'Behold, this they began to do.'" This is Genesis 11, verse 6 and 7. "And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Come, and let us go down and shorten these days, lest no flesh should be saved alive." And he also added that from Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. See, He let us come down and shorten the days. You see, science sees a lot of wonder out there from the Hubble telescope and in other ways, but they've only scratched the surface of the wonder that's about to come to this earth in the personage of Jesus Christ Himself. He says, let's cut these days short so I can come and establish God's kingdom on this earth. Now, that's really what we all should be living for and achieving. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Human beings are fascinating creatures. Studying the world around us, we've produced a world of incredible advancements in learning, understanding, and technology. In the information age, we're surrounded by the wonders of what the human mind has discovered and created. Scientists have discovered the laws underlying the world around us. But why haven't we discovered the laws of human relationships? Why haven't we learned to live together in peace? You need to prove the answer to this paradox. The Key of David offers you 3 booklets by Herbert W. Armstrong that can help you prove the answer to this riddle. Order your free copy of Does God Exist? This short booklet will help you examine the evidence on this essential but usually overlooked question. Also request Proof of the Bible. Proof of the Bible brings you the strongest proofs that the Holy Bible comes from a power that's much higher than human beings. Also order What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind. This booklet squarely addresses the paradox of human knowledge and its apparently inverse relationship to human happiness. What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind asks the questions that scientists ignore and answers them. Order your 3 booklets by Herbert W. Armstrong. Request Does God Exist? Proof of the Bible, and What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind. Order your free literature today. For the free literature, call 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.